After months of struggle, lawmakers in Washington have reached agreement on a new farm bill. The bill will cost nearly $900 billion over the next 10 years. Grant Gerlach of NET News in Nebraska reports on what's in the bill and what's not.
One of the biggest fights over the huge farm bill had nothing at all to do with farmers. It was about the largest budget item in the bill, the food stamp program, also known as SNAP. House Republicans wanted to double the number of people required to work in order to stay in SNAP. Senate Democrats vowed to block that proposal. The standoff lasted for months, but when the midterms flipped the House, it forced the issue. This morning, House Speaker Paul Ryan endorsed the compromise.
This bill strengthens work requirements and boosts work supports so that more people are spurred toward opportunities.
That makes it sound like the House proposal is in the bill, but it's not. There is extra money for training programs, but the work requirements were dropped to clear the way for the bill to pass. And that's how it is with much of the farm bill. It makes incremental changes, not structural reforms. That goes for SNAP and forestry, which leaves out most last-minute demands made by the White House to fast-track forest thinning projects. Some describe this as a status quo bill. It even costs about the same. But Julie Obudzinski of the National Sustainable Agriculture Coalition says there are significant changes. She points to what she calls tiny but mighty programs that the farm bill would make permanent, things like outreach to minority and veteran farmers and training for new farmers.
We know that these issues, they're not temporary issues, especially the aging farm population and where the next generation of farmers are going to come from.
The farm bill would more than double research funding for organic farming, and it legalizes hemp for industrial products and medicinal CBD oil, something many farmers hope will become a new lucrative cash crop. Up to now, only a handful were able to grow it under tight regulations. John Currier farms in the Imperial Valley of Southern California, where four generations of his family have grown winter vegetables like cauliflower, lettuce, and broccoli. He now wants to swap those veggies for hemp because he says he can't keep up with farm consolidation.
I mean, the writing's on the wall that unless you're a big corporate farmer that's year-round in the produce business, you pretty much got to get out of it.
In the farm bill, states can allow hemp production as long as the crop contains less than 0.3% of THC, the compound in marijuana that causes the high. Aspiring hemp farmers like Currier would even be eligible for crop insurance.
I need something else to grow. I mean, this hemp deal's kind of fallen in our lap at the exact perfect time.
But it's not a done deal until the farm bill reaches President Trump's desk.
And it always goes back to politics, and I hate politics. Most farmers do.
That's Mark Nelson, who raises corn, soybeans, and cattle near Paola, Kansas. Like a lot of farmers, Nelson has been working against a headwind. The trade fight with China has spoiled soybean prices, and on top of that, a drought crashed crop yields. He says crop insurance subsidies, which are mostly unchanged in the farm bill, help him avoid a critical financial blow.
And that's what's important for most farmers, is just get me to next year. We know we're going to have our ups and downs. We're going to have years where we don't produce, and crop insurance helps us with our lenders and banks, and that's all tied to the farm bill.
A bill that's years in the making and crucial for the people who grow the food we eat. For NPR News, I'm Grant Gerlach.
That story comes to us from Harvest Public Media, a reporting collaboration focusing on agriculture and rural issues.